Hello, Rebels. Before we kick off today's episode, let me ask you a question. What if we could help you unlock your marketing superpowers in one day or less? Actually, to be precise, I mean 3 hours. Yes, you heard it right. What I'm asking you is 3 hours of your time to join us for a brand new intensive experience, our marketing deep dive. One day masterclass that will help you create marketing strategies that capture hearts and mind. And every single masterclass is going to dive deep into one of our favorite topics of marketing. Maybe that email marketing, hiring, or even automations and beyond. If you want to get the fast track ticket to become irresistible, then I'll suggest you check out our upcoming marketing deep dive, where you're going to get 2 hours of hands-on training with lots of exercises and practical group work as well. Plus, 1 hour bonus office hours and Q&A. Oh, and we also have a personalized dashboard and bonus templates to help you apply what you learn in our 3 hours. And just to put a little bow on it, you also get a certificate of completion to show off wherever you fancy. If you'd like to find out what is coming up next and which one is our next marketing deep dive, all you have to do is go to amschool.click/masterclass. There you'll be able to find our schedule with our upcoming masterclass for you to join. On with today's show. Hi, marketing rebels. What if you could have a stunning website tailored to your unique brand, all created in mere seconds? Sounds like a dream, right? Well, with Osinger's AI website builder is actually a reality. I give it a whirl because you know me. And honestly, I was blown away. Just answer 3 simple questions and voila, your website, complete with copy and images, springs to life. And the best part? You can tweak it to perfection with a drag and drop editor. No coding, no fuss. Imagine unleashing your brand's potential with a website that's not only stunning, but also SEO friendly. Plus, with Osinger's AI tools, you can even predict visitor behavior, the closest thing to a crystal ball for your business. Ready to revolutionize your online presence? Head over to osinger.com/AMS to use the code AMS for 10% off your order and a free domain name. Your dream website is just a few clicks away. On with today's class.
Hello and welcome to the first thing. I can do this to the first ASMR version. Oh, wait. Oh, no. It's chaos down here, Tom. Hey, Marcus, you're rebel. If you haven't lost me already, I was trying to ASMR. Because Becca told me it was going to be a great idea to do that. So let me know if you enjoy and welcome back to Marketing School, the podcast that is definitely not going to turn into an ASMR marketing podcast because it will be weird. We're not suited for that. So instead, we're going to teach you how to make your marketing more impactful, human and fun, because that sounds like it makes more sense to do today. I'm Fab here, your marketing BFF, who clearly doesn't have anything better to do today than trying to be a dum-dum. So I'm the head teacher of marketing school, among all things. And in case you didn't get it from my snort, my high-pitched laugh, and Becca's great laughter, I'm joined today by the one and only Becca Holloway, who decided to run with this and even suggested ASMR section, which, as we can clearly see now, is definitely not going to happen because I can't keep it together. Becca, just to bring it together with something clearly much more serious right now, I have a very important question for you. The very well-known brand KFC has been doing great marketing stunts in the past. And I'm going to ask you, Becca, today, can you guess one of their wildest collaborations yet? A couple of years back, was it A, line of limited edition bed sheets, B, a limited edition bucket hat, or C, limited edition nappies? What do you think it was?
Okay, I feel like I'm worried it was nappies, but I want it to be bucket hat.
So like, I want it to be B, but I'm worried it might be C, basically. Yeah. Then thou shalt not worry, because it was indeed a bucket hat. You are in safe hands by knowing that fashion in 2019 brought it back with the hottest fashion trend ever. Which, when you think about KFC, bucket hat kind of makes sense. It was a collaboration from Wiener and Kennedy Amsterdam and the streetwear brand Mom Cubby. And at the time, it sold for 1,800 rubles, which sounds a lot, but actually it was basically $30. And yeah, it's actually, it looks pretty cool. Obviously, this is audio medium, but we'll see if we can pop this in our feeds somewhere and show you one of the wildest collabs, in my opinion. It looks fun. It looks weird. It looks a bit edgy. And all it was is basically, actually, I'm going to try and share it with us now. So at least Becca can see it. It's cute. She's cute. She's a vibe. She literally looks like a bucket hat. You can turn it around and you can see the little Colin Sanders on it. And it's not the first time, I think, that really KFC has thought about how to get people to talk about themselves in a creative way. And it just jumped out at me because KFC, I think, whether you like fried chicken or not, definitely has some great ideas when it comes to marketing campaigns, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, she's thriving. She's thriving over there. Now I'm quite hungry. I'm not going to lie. The marketing is working.
See, it is working. And again, I don't know if you can find them anymore. I don't know if they're actually something you can find on eBay. But yeah, I always love looking at weird collaborations, weird connections, and like how brands kind of bring things together and kind of, you know, find creative ways to get people to talk about them. And there's going to be more in today's episode, so watch out. But yeah, in case you didn't know, in 2019, a bucket hat happened and it was branded with KFC. That was a way to actually soften the blow of the question of the week, Becca, because this week we have a fiery question, which actually brought a lot of sauciness to Threads, whether people still use Threads or not. I know this is part of a conversation that we tend to have on the podcast cyclically as well, but the Moss did something. And this anonymous question actually called Adam Mossery the Moss, which I'm obsessed with. And the question was a bit of a desperate one. I can hear this anonymous voice desperately saying, help, the Moss says the followers don't matter anymore or ever. And the question is, what does this mean for my strategy? Before I let you answer this question, obviously, the Moss says followers don't matter. What does this mean for me? I'm going to mention what his thread of Adam Mossery, Instagram's head and spokesperson, said, just to give context in case you didn't hear. Follower counts matter less than views and like counts. I understand why people focus so much on follower counts. They're prominent and they're easy to find. But if you actually want a great sense of how relevant your account is, look at how many likes they get per post and how many views per reels instead. How do we feel about this? The internet went wild under this thread. So I want to hear your opinion, because so do our listeners.
Yeah, I understand why people went wild, because I feel like follower count is almost inherited from when social media first became a thing. It was the easiest metric to see and to kind of compare different accounts against each other. I do think, and I do sometimes experience this with clients, it still stands that they care about followers. And I will get clients come to me saying, our competitor has 50,000 followers, we've only got 20,000, can you make it happen? And I will often come back kind of with, you know, similar train of thought, to be honest, of saying, well, why? Tell me why. We can do things that may help build your following, but ultimately, what's that going to help you achieve? Is it that you want to increase them to raise awareness? Or are you looking to improve engagement? If so, then looking at the levels of engagement and prompting your audience to, you know, leave more comments or like the posts, whatever it might be more valuable. So I think it doesn't sound fun, my answer, but it comes back to your goal, right? Because if you are looking to increase awareness as much as possible, then maybe followers is a really important metric to you. And maybe that will be helping you get the word out there. If you've already got an established audience, and that doesn't need to be a big audience, but I suppose if they're engaged, then I would say one of the most important things you can do is keep them engaged and look at, a little bit like this says, look at how many likes you're getting per post. Look at the comments. I guess the only other thing as to why some people may gravitate to followers as default is because, again, it's just easy to see at a glance. You don't have to do any work to see how many followers someone has. If you want to get an actual engagement rate, you either got to manually look through and do some maths or get access to their account, which, you know, can be difficult if they're not your client, if you're not working with them. So, yeah, not super. I feel like there was some, I don't know. I almost wanted to be like, yeah, followers, but depends on your goals. Depends on your goals, you know, gotta have goals.
I think that's the thing for me. Like, obviously the statement was also a video attached to it. Good old Adam. They probably just ship him out and be like, is it time to do a weekly video? Get ready. And it was on the same ilk, I believe. But when I read it and I say follower counts matters less than views and like counts. Again, then I go back to what you mentioned, which is even this, I think, is a bit of a blank statement in itself, because then I would even argue would say, well, for some of our clients or our students, actually, shares and saves are more important.
Yeah.
Actually, because they give them an understanding of the intent of what they want, basically the users to do with their content is mainly to save and share it and, you know, kind of see that they agree or they relate to it. So for me, for example, when I read the bit about the likes, I was like, well, but now we all know that people can hide their likes because maybe they feel they don't have the right reach. Or maybe actually, again, people don't get a lot of likes, but they get millions of comments. So the fact that it says, you know, well, look at likes and views, yes and no, because once again, what's the goal? What am I trying to achieve? And also, I appreciate that sentiment of, you know, follow counts matters less. But as you say, then we need to go back to the fact that if you are saying this, it's probably because a lot of people still, as you say, have clients or team members that, or even just general public that sees the follower count and looks at it as a matter of authority. Because let's be 110% honest, blue ticks they need to pay for because of that, and because everybody knows that also that's part of it. Yes, they give us a bit of credibility and trust, but I think that as not having the effect that it used to have, because it used to be associated to a certain type of accounts and a certain type of people. So when the question was, you know, what does this mean for my strategy if followers don't matter? I personally say that going back to what Becca just mentioned, for your strategy doesn't mean anything. If anything, it means you have to reset and think about your strategy in the first place and ask yourself, what matters to me? What is showing me that I'm doing the right things in my account? What is showing me that I'm getting the results I want? Like Becca say, what are your goals? So it's good to hear it. It's good to hear that that's what the head of Instagram thinks. But that, is this really going to change the way that you show up? Yes or not? I think that depends more on you than what that says. I don't know if I'm making sense, but it's already hard to find what we should be doing based on our strategy. When these statements come up or when these things come up, I think they can create more confusion. Sometimes they're good.
Yeah. I think it's like you say, it doesn't need to completely change your strategy. I think you've got to apply it to whatever you're trying to achieve. And this goes for not just Instagram, but I would say all content types and different platforms as well. I recently have become a little bit wary and have put, I suppose, not technically, like not in actual kind of the maths behind the engagement rate, but I'm trying to put less emphasis on just likes for some situations as well. Because I feel like that's a very low, the bar is low, right? To get someone to like a piece of content. I really liked what you said about intent and how quite often for students, save, for example, might be a much better indication of what's happening. It's giving you a clear idea of the intent. And I think, you know, comments, saves are kind of sort of a heavier weighting, if that makes sense. You know, it's like, okay, someone's taken more time to either write a comment, and hopefully it'll be kind of a good one at that and not just a really generic like woo, although we still like those, and save your hope. I kind of think that's a indication that that content has a long lifespan, because hopefully that person's going to come back to it later. So it's all about yeah, I suppose shaping your strategy around what do you want people to do and what are you creating, and will what you're creating prompt your audience to do the thing you want them to do?
I think that's where you hit the nail on the head. It's generally that thinking of what is the action I want my audience to take, and it can be the same, it can be slightly shifting, sometimes it's just conversion, which is I think also fine. But one of the things also that actually I love that you mentioned that makes me think about something that's happened recently, which I saw and other co-host Emma York also talked about straight away. I knew she would. Shout out to Emma. Was, for example, talking again about the feed and how we're experiencing it and our behaviors. Small thing, but to me, shows an interesting way of the platform how it's evolving. Instagram now has notify stickers as part of their story stickers, which means, you know, I like how they, by the way, they're promoting it as your most dedicated fans won't miss your content. I love that. But it also shows me that there is a need, or there is a gap, I'm going to say actually, in how often we actually get to see the content of the people that we love because of how the feeds are shifting, which is very interesting because it's not the only piece of news about feeds this week. But I don't know, to me, I kind of saw it beyond, that's my problem, by the way, that's how my brain works, dear listener. I saw it beyond that, yay, we can put a notify sticker on our stories. I asked myself, but what does that also mean about the bigger picture? What does it mean about what are some of the challenges that creators and users are having at the moment? And, you know, it almost makes it feel even more competitive to make sure that actually people can reach your content when then you see other pieces of content say, don't share your posts in your stories. I literally saw it the day before I saw this and I was like, what am I supposed to do? You know what I mean? Always playing devil's advocate, basically.
I just think, don't you think, with things like this, I fear that there's almost audience fatigue when it comes to notifications, because we probably all follow, let's say you follow like 500 people, there's got to be a percentage of that that you do not see on your feed anymore. Not because you don't like them, just because it's been buried other content. And I recently made an effort. You know, you can set your you can have favorites and you can have close friends. So I went through my favorites and I thought, right, I'm going to make a conscious effort to try and put some people in there so I see their content more. But then I just think it's kind of admin for me to do that, which I'd rather not. I'd rather just see those different people's content. But then I think, okay, we're introducing this notification feature. Great. But is that not going to get lost? Because there's also quite a lot of other notifications from Instagram. And I just think, I don't know if that's going to have an impact. I would love it to, if I was the business putting on a piece of content. I completely agree. I think there is a gap there for how do we make sure that your audience is seeing your content. But I think, is it less about like the business posting the content? Is it less about them and more about the platform? Do you know what I mean? I feel like I don't know if this is the way to fix it necessarily.
It's getting saucy. I like it.
I know.
Saucy.
I just don't think it's the way. And because I feel like Instagram's a weird one at the moment. I do like it as a platform. I'm not hating on it. It's up there, I think, in my top two at the moment, which is saying something for me. But it feels a little bit like not seeing who I want to see. And I feel like Instagram knows that, which is why they're pushing features like this.
That's what I was thinking. That's exactly what I was thinking. And last week, if you go listen to last week's episode, we talked about long-form content coming onto the platform with Emma a lot. And I talked about vlogging-style content. And then again, I did this a huge announcement, which as if there was thousands of people be like, fab, but one person, bless you, and he said, missed you. I was like, I did this big announcement about I'm back on my personal Instagram, almost as a commitment to myself more than anybody else, to be like, oh, I should go and shop again consistently. And I did it following suit, or was talking to Emma about last week, which was about short, longer form content, but also because probably people want to see more of that personal side. We want to be more entertained, I believe, on platforms like Instagram. We have such an education fatigue. And with platforms like LinkedIn becoming stronger, platforms like this are platforms that already inherently are more about thought leadership. So I think the content in general will be still a bit more brainy, regardless of whether it's educational or not. So I generally see how platforms are seeing, like Instagram and TikTok, are seeing this, oh, we can actually compete with YouTube when it comes to that. I just want to scroll on something and get a nugget of inspiration, a bit of motivation, a little something to reflect on, but not having a whole full marketing plan to action after I've read a post, you know?
Yeah.
So that makes me genuinely wonder about what you just said about how is the platform seeing all these changes? And if you look at the Notify, if you look at the longer videos, what is it saying about how people are consuming content on the platform and what people really want from it? I personally know that my personal behavior is going into the stories, actually going into the platform, looking at the stories and then checking my people. And yes, if somebody's putting a video in their stories, I will actually check the original video in the feed. I will still do it, Instagram gurus. I don't care. But you know what I mean? So that's how I use it. Doesn't mean that everybody's using it that way. But then what you mentioned, I wanted to add one more note to that. Then also I'm thinking, if your target audience is a heavy Instagram user who's also either a creator or a business owner or a professional, you also have to remember that asking them to add an extra notification in their feed is death for them, right? Because if you're looking at the average person, maybe they uses it generally just as direct consumer, it's fine. But for many of us, marketers, social media managers, even business owners, creators, you got so many notifications, it's going to get lost anyway.
Yeah.
Because the average number of notifications is going to be tripled. So that's my other thinking, you know? Just but getting saucy again.
We love it. Love that. Yeah, I completely agree. I feel like it's just going to become white noise within the app. Maybe it would even have a detrimental impact to people who are publishing. Maybe they'd already be publishing, I don't know, promotion for an event, say, anyway. It just feels clunky. It's like, here's an extra step you've got to do. And probably the outcome is going to annoy quite a few users by just clogging up their notification feed, pinging them on their phone. And it's like, they might love that piece of content, but they just, maybe it'll be great if they found it without having to be notified. That makes sense, kind of.
I genuinely wonder whether it's because trying the favorites and the close friends as an option, but because people are still not maybe used to do it as much, or as you say, it becomes admin just to find the people manually, they decided to add an even more direct version of that. But I don't know. It's one of those things, like the same thing done in a slightly different way can bring better results, but also it doesn't necessarily mean so. I don't know. Like, you know, these additions sometimes make me kind of wonder a bit, but then you get revivals like the poke button coming back to Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't even use Facebook anymore, but I will go back just to poke people.
I was honestly a bit like freaked out by this.
And you remember the emoji that was used for the poke?
I do. Yeah.
The little finger that goes in. The most pointless thing. I remember once with somebody, God helps me if I remember who it was. We poked for 10 times. It was a poke on poke on poke.
Poke, poke.
No reason whatsoever. It was like a little nudge. Why? I love this, but why?
Speaking of nudges, isn't that what TikTok have that will call their very similar feature? I think they have a nudge and you can nudge people on TikTok.
Yes, I've seen that. It's in messages though, isn't it? Usually comes up or something like that.
But I feel like I don't know what to do with this information now it's come back. I was like, what is poking etiquette here? When am I supposed to? Who with? How have I got to start using Facebook again? Because I don't really know. Like you say, apart from when I'm in the business manager, I don't really go on Facebook or marketplace or special place. But, you know, what do we do with this? It just feels rogue.
Well, Gen Z's goddamn loving it. So we might feel weird about it, but Gen Z is like, this is the best thing to do the 2 days a month that I'm on Facebook, I guess. But yeah, what we said is that, I'm just going to give you this stat because it baffled me. Meta said that over 50% of new pokes were made by users aged 18 to 29.
I love this. What are 18 to 29-year-olds doing on Facebook?
That is the question you have. It's a fair question. in between marketplace swipes, they're like, oh, wait a second. I'm going to poke this person to ask them about my marketplace bid. Oh, I you can see that I don't go marketplace. I'm sorry, everybody. But we did our first ever action in real life auction last weekend. I'll let you know.
Oh,
first and maybe last, but still very exciting. We got outdoor gardening furniture, everybody, just in case you needed to know.
That's actually a really good idea. I need to do that.
I know. Well, everybody can spare their thoughts for my husband who stayed for 3 hours waiting for the number to come up. It was wild. But we did that. So, hey ho, if that's what we do on a Saturday, I'm not going to judge any Gen Z that decides to poke people on Facebook. You know, I don't know what I'm saying on that, right?
We love that. We love that.
But that's the thing, like, it does make me wonder about like literally what people are doing on that app. And then talking again, this week there's a trend about things that are happening that I'm not sure about. The Notify, again, there's a bit of understanding, but we're looking at the bigger picture here. The poke, very confused. Then TikTok said, we're going to try carousels and images. Couple of months ago, they've been using it quite a lot. You've seen it as part of it. And now they're like, you know what? We haven't done enough. We're actually going to do a photo app for TikTok. I don't know. I don't know.
I hate it.
Oh. Becca, please, please, just, you know. Let's keep it low key. I hate it.
Got it. I love it.
No. Okay, but bring up the sauce again.
I woke up today and was like, this is how I feel. No, when they first brought in photos and carousels just into the normal feed, I was a little bit skeptical, but actually found myself quite enjoying that content. It is nice. People use it creatively. I know it gets a lot of engagement, but actually it's a really nice, some of the best ways I've seen it used is almost like in a storytelling sense where people will use a carousel and it feels like a nice piece of content. It doesn't feel like engagement baity. It definitely exists, but the majority of what's in my algorithm actually feels like this is a good use of this format. And it's nice to break up if you've been having a little scrolling sesh, lots and lots of videos, and then it's like, ah, let me pause and take a moment and like, this is a nice piece of content. By separating it out or, you know, creating this additional app, I am a bit skeptical, and maybe I shouldn't be, so I hate it because I do like the content format. However, I think it's a little bit like TikTok, and this goes actually across all other social media apps, should do what they do best, like do it well. So we saw when TikTok really reached like the peak of its popularity, every other social media platform jumping on short form video and pushing it. And that is linked to another update later on that we'll talk about. However, I just think, why do you need to do that? Why do you need to create a different app? Because I feel like for the majority of kind of just everyday casual users, what's the incentive? What's going to get people to actually go onto a different app to view photos where it's already available within TikTok, just kind of organically, you'll stumble across that type of content related to whatever your kind of niche is. And the same with Instagram, even though we all use it differently, and I'm quite similar to you actually, stories is where I spend a lot of my time, but then I'll have a scroll through the feed, less so on Reels actually. But it doesn't matter, I know kind of what I'm expecting when I go into that app. Making it feels a little bit like you're adding quite a big step there. And asking a lot, I feel, of audiences to actually do something to get content that might already exist. I also feel like from a kind of creating the content perspective, I feel like it might raise a lot of questions with businesses and almost panic going, do we need to change our whole strategy? What do we need to do for this? And I feel like it didn't need to be that way. Or maybe it still doesn't need to be that way, you know?
I generally don't think it's going to last. So talking about let's not have like strong opinions here. I don't think it's going to last. If they try it, great. If they trial it, it's fine. As you said, I genuinely felt that the addition of carousel slash like photo based content on TikTok was actually a great idea. Just from the fact that the consumption on the app can be sometimes very immersive, but also can be really tiring. So that kind of breaks it up. You can have a little break and a breather. So taking it out, then it kind of defeats the point. So I think the main reason why that format works is literally what you just said. I was nodding along. I was like, yeah, that's exactly how I see it. So as you said, whenever we're taking people out of the platform, one, to me, defeats the point then of trying to bring people back in. And two, I understand that you might be thinking as a platform or from a user perspective, you're like, well, it means there's going to be more content because we added a new format. So things are going to get, you know, cluttered or whatever that might be. But then my question is, a big question I probably shouldn't ask a platform is, what is the goal of this platform then in the first place? Why moving people away from it to go somewhere else? Again, we got the lemonades, we got the beer reels. Some of them then will stick around. Some of them will be like our best friend Clubhouse and it will just become a niche self for little. Oh, Clubhouse, we give you so much, like especially the two of us give you so much grievance.
Yeah. But
it's because obviously everybody wants to be the next thing. And it's always kind of from a user perspective, especially from a marketing and social media person or people, just remembering that these are the power users. These are people that are really going to invest time into the platform. And you have to find the balance between, yes, trying to expand in some way or yes, trying to new things and trying to be fresh. But also don't, you know, like if it ain't broken, don't fix it. That's how I see it.
Yeah. Just to be really cynical and again, not too like doom and gloom. But from TikTok's perspective, it's a very addictive app. If you get caught in like a bit of the algorithm that interests you, you can spend hours on there if you really want to. And to me, the way that they've got it at the moment, you know, whether it be a static image or a carousel, it's as we've described, it's a little break and you go, oh, that's good. That's interesting. I like that. And then you're kind of captured again back into however many videos you decide to watch. I almost feel like from TikTok's perspective, surely that benefits them because they're keeping users in the app and engaged. And surely there's a lot of data they can get from that about how users are using the platform and what they can do to make that app better rather than, yeah, let's take them somewhere else where they might just open it, go, oh, this is Instagram, like 2.0. Let me just go over to Instagram or go back to TikTok. I don't know. That's I don't like to think of, you know, which is ironic because I work in social media and all I do is analyze data all the time. But I'm like, these nice little platforms that we like to hang out on. But that's what they're doing. They're mining our data to see what they can do to keep us on the apps for longer. This just feels almost a bit backwards.
I think the same. And I was actually thinking about, you know, the other piece of news, which you can actually introduce for us, which is one of the final bits that's happening. And I think they'll actually, weirdly enough, most of these conversations all tie together about, you know, putting everything in one place or trying to actually separate formats, but in the same app or doing it differently. Again, I understand that an app has got so many ways to access a menu or tabs, so we kind of have to make it dynamic. But it's also something to be said that if something works again and it works within the flow that already exists, why breaking it? However, talking about them, I love all the points that you made on TikTok. I hope TikTok is listening. And I love when you put the cynical hat on. It's a beautiful hat. So don't worry about putting it back on. I'll take it any day. What about LinkedIn? Because spoiler alert, that is the other app that has decided to try something new. But this time it's not a separate app. It's inside their mobile version. Tell me more.
It is. So LinkedIn, our good friends at LinkedIn, are testing a dedicated video feed, which caught my attention because LinkedIn has changed a lot over the last, I'd say, 18 months to 2 years. It used to be, way back, it was kind of, why would you ever post content on there? It was just a place to look for new job opportunities. Then we've seen, you know, text and image posts come out kind of in popularity. And now video is so popular on there as it is. I'm not surprised, but I am intrigued to see the impact that a dedicated video feed would have. One of my fears, I suppose, is that my productivity is going to go out the window if there's a dedicated video tab, because even though it will be kind of work related, I'm like, well, I know how long I can spend on TikTok, and this could be dangerous for making sure am I going to get anything done when I'm looking at this kind of content? But I do think it could be a good opportunity for creators, especially when we think about how important thought leadership pieces of content have become on LinkedIn, people sharing their stories about, you know, running their businesses, milestones that they're hitting, career success, you know, all of that kind of thing. And I think having a dedicated video feed is a great way to, if you're wanting to look for that kind of content or you're producing that kind of content, have it all in one place and reach the right people. I do wonder, you know, what impact that would have on engagement, and also what would happen with the rest of the feed. So I'm just picturing, you know, what is going to happen to it when people are posting photos, even text posts? Is that going to become a bit stale because people are putting more attention on, I have to have a video, I've got to, I mean, even the quantity, genuinely, I think that I would be very intrigued if this kind of rolls out to everybody and sticks around, because I know sometimes LinkedIn have a habit of rolling out features and then going, oh, actually, we changed our mind. Never mind. Pretend that didn't happen. So we'll see if it does kind of last forever. But yeah, what people's kind of strategy would look like in terms of, would they just pivot to a completely video only LinkedIn strategy? Because that to me feels a bit like odd. And almost, I one of the things I enjoy about LinkedIn, especially now I'm not spending any time on X, is that you can, if you want to read content and consume it that way, it's one of the best places too, I find.
I wonder, and I love what you mentioned there, part of me was actually, I was looking at what it looks like from the mock-up there that was out there in the world. And there's part of me that wonders whether it's an opportunity for people like myself that, funnily enough, being a writer, irony, but writing takes a lot of time and it's the truth. And I find that actually the video format is one that I enjoy so that I can actually spend more time doing the writing that I want to do, which usually involves things like longer form like newsletters. So nothing wrong actually with, again, going back to the writing on LinkedIn, but whether we like it or not, there's something about LinkedIn that is the fact that writing on its own can be really good for some people, but a lot of the time you need an extra medium just to pull people in. So I think, and honestly, there's so many selfies of myself at a desk that I can do. And for me, it's so much easier to actually just jump in front of a camera and just say what I have to say. So for example, for me, but also creators that are not like me, that literally just don't want to write and just enjoy being in front of a camera, I see it as a great bonus. And again, I literally did post something that I'm back on the content horse, and there was a piece of content that I thought could work well on LinkedIn as much as it did on being interesting as much as it was on Instagram. And I did it as a square, so I just recropped it and fixed it a tiny bit because I just knew that it would also look a bit funny when it came to vertical on the platform still because of all the rearrangements and how it fits. So that's part of my thinking as well. Then I'm wondering whether then all the videos, especially vertical videos, let's ignore the app for a second. When it comes to the feed, if people are doubling or tripling the amount of vertical content they're creating, where is it going to live then on the desktop?
Right.
Because it will look weird. Like, let's be very honest, it could look really weird as a desktop experience. So that's part of my devil's advocate. Would it be that it would have his own little background, you know, like a little blur background to kind of fit in? Would they crop it? Sounds silly, but that's also very important because if you're pivoting to a whole video strategy because you think actually you can repurpose that content, how would they look? Because it's a bit counterintuitive if you can only access it on mobile and not on laptop, you know?
Yeah. It's a really good point. And I mean, TikTok, for example, you can watch on desktop, but I never do it because it just doesn't feel quite right. It just doesn't have the same experience. So I would be very intrigued, like you say, is what would they do to make that content as accessible, but also as appealing, I suppose, to desktop users? What's going to keep them watching, get them engaged?
That was going to be really interesting to see. Actually, to finish off, talking about video, I got one more piece of video inspiration to share with us. We've been talking a lot about videos today. We've been talking a lot about collaborations as well, call back to the beginning. And one of the things that we have, both in our newsletter,
which if you don't, I'm not signed up to the newsletter and you listen repeatedly to this podcast, what are you doing, dear listener? I love you, but come on. And also we have in our All Access Pass in the community part of our student community, we have a channel that is all about inspiration, and I'm obsessed with looking at campaigns. And a bit on the vein of video content and great collaborations, I wanted to share one of my favorite collaborations in a very, very long time that is at the hands and brains of Elf Beauty, Elf Cosmetics, who do pretty good ones, if you ask me. They've done some clever ones in the last couple of months, one of which the Elf Criminals we wrote about actually on the website as well. But I want to try and share and show, see if it works, one of the latest ones, which was a collaboration with Liquid Death, which is in the US. So it's not a brand that is very well known in Europe, but I thought it was brilliant. And I want to share it with us very, very briefly. And then I want to hear your opinion, Becca, if you know anything about it, if you don't. And if you don't, I want you to try and guess what this is about and what Liquid Death is about. So let's give it a try.
He's so dreamy.
I know.
Murder your eyes, lips, and face like your favorite celebs. Corpse Paint from Liquid Death and Elf. Each Corpse Paint coffin comes with 5 super cute styling pieces.
Wow, this pen is so precise, but the coverage is awesome too. It's just perfect.
Now you can look as dark on the outside as you are on the inside.
Super cute contouring, Addison. Love the look, Piper.
Thanks, Glothar.
Hey, guys. Who wants vegan goat blood? Glothar?
Deborah?
Glothar, I haven't seen you in like 15 years.
Mom? Dad?
Corpse Paint!
Get yours while supplies last at elfcosmetics.com/corpsepaint.
I mean, it's great.
She's speechless. What? I don't know why I just witnessed. Well,
so obviously... obviously, if you need to watch this, you might have to go to our social channels to actually watch the thing, because that's where you will be able to see it in all its glory. But yes, so it's an ad, but it's not an ad. It's a collab.
I'm not really sure. I feel like I was having an out-of-body experience, but I kind of loved it. And I do feel like if I'd seen that, well, I'm kind of sold on like the eyeliner. I'm like... that's got some staying power. I probably need that. So add to basket.
We're going to give us some context, because aside from being actually pretty fun and completely off the wall, which is why I love it. So Elf obviously is a cosmetics and beauty company, and they've been known for like campaigns that really go with the most random collaborations or angles or stunts that you could see. And this was a brilliant one because they collaborated with Liquid Death, which is a very strongly branded, I'm going to now say this wrong, but I believe they do energy drinks, or anyway, some kind of drink. I should know this, but they are mainly US-based and they're very much known for their absolutely wild branding as well. They're very strong branding, you know, but they also work a lot on that kind of idea of like angry and raw and crazy. It's very much like skulls and stuff like this. But actually, again, it's not beers, it's not alcohol. It's very much about like energy drinks or like refreshing, hydrating drinks. What I love about this is that there's no inkling of that. That's what's funny. Like there's no products, there's no cans. They're really very, very peculiar cans. So actually the brand of Liquid Death is not really there in that way. What they almost did is they almost found a way to add their own branding, their own vibe to Elf products, which is the makeup. And I found that was super clever because you don't see any mention of Liquid Death. You don't see any of the product placement. But it is a collaboration. It's posted on both channels and it was a limited collaboration makeup and a kind of makeup set that was embodying the spirit of the brand. And it's weird. It's jarring, but in a good way. And it's interesting. And if you don't know the brand of Liquid Death, you kind of want to know what they're about.
Yeah.
Because you see that mentioned, you see as part of the collaboration, but you don't really know who they are. So I generally think it's brilliant because to me, they spoke to a target audience that maybe wasn't the one that maybe was aware of Liquid Death, by actually inserting themselves in the conversation of another brand without really speaking about themselves, but letting their branding speak for themselves.
Yeah, I'm definitely aware of them now. I liked, it almost reminded me of, you know, like, must have been, I don't know, very late 90s or early noughties kids' adverts Yeah. And in a good way, like genuinely in a good way, it kind of reminded me of that. I was like, are we going back in time? What's going on? Was this collaboration? Bit of a plot twist halfway through. I liked it. It kept me. If that was on my phone, I wouldn't have scrolled. I would have been, it's happening. It's going on.
That's another thing. I think that's a great example of, and again, it goes back to what we've been talking about a bit throughout today. There's a bit of narrative in it. There's a bit of storytelling. There's something there. You know, it's not necessarily about the product. And that's, I think, a lot of the content that we're going to see. I mean, this is a random example of a collaboration, but I think it really shows the type of content that a lot of people want. That is fun, is a bit weird, is a bit intriguing, but also is more about stories. And then, yeah, it introduces brands or concepts or ideas without necessarily being too much in your face about it. I think we learned a lot this week. I don't know. Do you feel?
I feel like we have. Yeah, I feel like we've covered a lot. We got a bit saucy, been a bit sassy, been a bit cynical. I think we've been all the things.
Plus ASMR. We learned that ASMR doesn't work with us because I'm too loud.
That was a fantastic moment, though.
And I won't be able to keep a straight face. So lesson learned, everybody. But yeah, all the lessons, all the learns. And if people want to get saucy with you, I mean, don't get saucy with Becca, but if they wanted to, where should they go?
You can find me everywhere at Becca Social.
And as always, you can find us at altmarketingschool.com. Please go to our gram, altmarketingschool, and send your questions in. Very, very important. And we're going to get more questions about the moss, about anything else that you want to ask us. And then we'll just bring them on in the show. So thank you so much for asking your questions, and please keep them coming. And while you do that, don't forget to be kind to yourself and others. And remember, the great marketing speaks to hearts, not just minds. And until next time, class dismissed.